नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सह सोवदायस्य कार्पण्यं विविक्ताध्यात्मदर्शनः विमुंशात्मा तनुं गोरं इत्युक्तो विमुमोचः सुवार्दार्यस्य कार्पण्यं विविक्ताध्यात्मदर्शनः विमुंशात्मा तनुं गोरं इत्युक्तो विमुमोचः
The Lord who can distinctly see the mind of others perceived Brahma's distress and said to him, "Cast off this impure body of yours." Thus commanded by the Lord, Brahma cast off his body. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Lord is described here by the word Viviktadhyatmadarshana. If anyone can completely perceive another's distress without doubt, it is the Lord Himself. If someone is in distress and wants to get relief from his friend, sometimes it so happens that his friend does not appreciate the volume of distress he is suffering. But for the Supreme Lord, it is not difficult. The Supreme Lord as Paramatma is sitting within the heart of every living entity, and He directly perceives the exact causes of distress. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, "Sarvasya chaham hridishan nivishto." I am sitting in everyone's heart, and because of me, one's remembrance and forgetfulness occur. Thus, whenever one fully surrenders unto the Supreme Lord, one finds that He is sitting within one's heart. He can give us direction how to get out of dangers or how to approach Him in devotional service. The Lord, however, asked Brahma to give up His present body because it had created the demoniac principle. According to Sridhar Swami, Brahma's constant dropping of his body does not refer to his actual giving up his body. Rather, he suggests that Brahma gave up a particular mentality. Mind is the subtle body of the living entity. We may sometimes be absorbed in some thought which is sinful, but if we give up the sinful thought, it may be said that we give up the body. Brahma's mind was not in correct order when he created the demons. It must have been full of passion because the entire creation was passionate. Therefore, such passionate sons were born. It follows that any father and mother should be very careful while begetting children. The mental condition of a child depends on the mental status of his parents at the time he is conceived. According to the Vedic system, therefore, the garbhadhan samskara or the ceremony for giving birth to a child is observed. Before begetting a child, one has to sanctify his perplexed mind. When the parents engage their minds in the lotus feet of the Lord, and in such a state the child is born, naturally good devotee children come. When the society is full of such good population, there is no trouble from demoniac mentalities. The Lord, who can distinctly see the minds of others, perceived Brahma's distress and said to him, "Cast off this impure body of yours." Thus commanded by the Lord, Brahma cast off his body. We find in this chapter from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Conversation Between Maitreya and Vidura, the historical dialogue between Vidura and Maitreya Rishi, Riva Rasa Rajvara. Shukadeva Goswami tells us of Vidura, born of Vyasadeva and equal to Vyasadeva in the purity of his heart, in his transcendental knowledge, was driven from his rightful home in Hastinapur by the envious Duryodhana. Just imagine his family, his home, all his possessions. He was driven away from into the forest. Duryodhana was so envious, so hard-hearted, that he told Vidura he could leave with nothing but his own breath. And if he did not leave immediately, he would not even have that. Vidura, being a great devotee, was always looking for the hand of God or Krishna in every situation. He saw it as a wonderful and blessed opportunity to go on pilgrimage, which he did. This is the characteristic of a true Vaishnav. Even the apparent most distressful, difficult circumstances, a devotee sees an opportunity in that. Maharaji, Harivo. Just like Srila Prabhupada here at Juhu Beach. This was long distance from Bombay in the early 1970s. It was a jungle with unfriendly neighbors, with uncooperative government officials, all advisors were telling Prabhupada, not here, not here. But Srila Prabhupada saw this as an opportunity. And even when, you know the history, the government was against, the owner of the land was against, tenants were against, even Prabhupada's own lawyers and even the devotees were thinking it was impossible, Prabhupada was ecstatic. He was enlivened. He saw an opportunity. He put Radharas Bihari here in a little tin shack and said, this is your home. So this is the nature of a devotee. Because of faith in God, a devotee is never obstructed but by his or her enthusiasm for devotional service. There was definitely every reason for Vidura to be discouraged. He tried in so many ways to help his elder brother, Dhritarashtra, as a loving friend and guide. But he was not only rejected by his nephew, but his own brother, who he gave everything to help, was part of the conspiracy to reject him. He stood by and didn't say a word to protect him. He was betrayed, and he was left with literally nothing but his breath. But he sought as the grace of God. He looked for the positive opportunity of what he can do for Krishna in this situation. And he went on pilgrimage. And when he came to the holy place on the bank of the river Ganga of Haridwar, he met with Maitreya Muni. And they are sitting and discussing Krishna Katha. Vidura asks Maitreya Muni about the creation. And Maitreya Muni is giving a very detailed account of how Lord Brahma, the original living being created by Krishna, he is Atmabhu. He doesn't have a mother. He was born of the lotus from the navel of Lord Narayan, Padmanam Vishnu. And how Lord Brahma, in this particular incident that we are reading, from his shadow came, was the yakshas and rakshasas. And then demigods were born, and from the Lord, from Brahma's buttocks, a whole dynasty of demons were created. And these demons were so full of passion that they immediately attacked Brahma, their own father, to rape him and have sex with him. When Brahma saw this at first, this was so ridiculous. His newborn sons want to rape him and enjoy sexual relations with their father. He laughed at their stupidity. But when he saw they were serious and they were actually about to do it, he had no alternative than to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Material life often works like this. Sometimes our own creations turn against us and come to destroy us. That's really what life is about. We engage in activities for sense gratification, and then we create a particular type of karma. And then that karma comes back at us to cause us sometimes humiliation and suffering. Srila Prabhupada once said, when a devotee was complaining about the difficulties he was having and the difficulties that other devotees were causing him, Prabhupada said that do not be angry with the karmic reactions that you have created. Whatever bad is coming to us, we have somehow or other created it, either in this life or in previous lives. Do not be angry at the agent of your own karmic reactions. Because just like a postman, he's, in one sense, the postman cannot be blamed if you are given a bill from the bank. You're the one that took the loan. Don't blame the postman. In a similar way, there are so many messengers or agents who are simply delivering our own karma. We are creating. And the couple hundred years ago in Great Britain, there was a classic book written entitled Frankenstein. People think it's just a horror monster movie or book, but actually it's very, very instructive. It is about a man who had a very, very deep passion to have his name in history by doing something that nobody else had done. And he wanted to do it for the welfare of humanity, to actually bring life to a dead body. Hare Krishna. And he worked so hard, so passionately. He was obsessed with this scientific discovery. And according to the book, which is fiction, of course, he did it. He was the first person in modern history to bring a dead corpse to life. And he tried to bring the ingredients of the best possible people to make it a first-class human being. The best. A perverted reflection of Narottam, the top-class human being. But unfortunately, became a monster. But he was so powerful, so powerful. Could just run to the top of mountains and back, uproot trees. He was very powerful. And he ended up killing all Dr. Frankenstein's family members, and then was attacked, just caused him unlimited misery, made his whole life totally miserable. This is what happens when we, in the name of our own speculative pursuits, act against the laws of nature. So yes, every time we engage in sinful activities, we're creating monsters that are going to come back and destroy us in various forms. Every time we we offend a devotee, the reaction is going to come. It's going to crush us in one way or another. Human society, we are responsible for our every word and our every action, and we cannot get away with anything because the laws of nature scrutinize every detail, and we must pay the price. So herein, Lord Brahma, he created a monster that was monsters that were coming worse than death. They were coming to rape him. Can you imagine? And he created something that was more powerful than himself. Why didn't he just kill them? He had to run from them, and he had to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also very symbolic. We have created so much karma upon ourselves in which the threefold miseries are going to come upon us, adi atmaka, adi daivaka, adi bhautaka. Sometimes good karma also. But when the sufferings come upon us, ultimately there's only one refuge. Prahlad Maharaj, he observed that the solutions people try to make to solve the problems of sufferings in this world, those solutions become a greater cause of problem than the original problem. That is how material nature works. There's only one solution. Sarva dharman puratyajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papyebhyo moksha ishami masucha. Abandon all varieties of religion, just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions, do not fear. Parikshit Maharaj in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam took note of an extraordinary phenomena. He said to Shukadeva Goswami that prayaschitta, or trying to atone from sins, it seems to me like an elephant bathing in the river and coming out and rolling in the dust. Because due to the uncontrolled mind, even if we atone for our sinful activities, we are forced, we are driven to engage in sinful activities again. And then again karmic reactions. Where does it end? It's a vicious cycle. Arjuna told Krishna that trying to control the mind is more difficult than controlling the raging wind. Now we have seen recently in world news the power of a raging wind. In New Orleans, the hurricane Katrina struck with such power, devastated one of the major cities of the economic and politically most powerful countries in the world. How is it possible? Even the entire United States Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, all their police and National Guard, all their technology, all their arsenals of nuclear bombs, they could not defend against this wind. Such devastation. Billions of dollars damaged. So many lives lost. So much suffering. The power of one wind. And now, just a couple weeks later, there's another hurricane going in that direction. Is it that they have learned how to fight against hurricanes? There's nothing you can do except run away. That's the only thing you can do when a major wind comes, is run away, hide. You cannot fight it. That is the power. One raging wind, greater than all the military of the most powerful country in the world. But Arjuna tells that the mind is more powerful than that wind and could create far more devastation than that wind. Just see, it is the mind that creates tyrants, Stalin, Hitler. Due to their uncontrolled mind, tens and millions of people were ruthlessly tortured and killed. That is the power of just one or two people's minds. So powerful. So here we find Lord Brahma. He was in a situation that he created himself. He wasn't expecting to turn out like this. He was just trying to do his service to the Lord. And Brahma had no power. he had to turn to Krishna. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this particular verse today is described as one who distinctly understands the minds of every living being. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjana babashyani chabutani mamtu vedana kashchana. Krishna tells us in Gita, he knows everything in the past, all things happening in the present and all things that are yet to come. He also knows all living beings, but he no one knows in truth perfectly. Sarvasya cha ham hridi shani vishto matasmitir jnanam apohanam sha. He is seated within the heart of every living being. He is the witness of everything. He knows our desires. He knows our fears. He knows our aspirations. There are many wonderful examples in Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like last week, we were discussing the appearance of Lord Vamanadeva. Aditi was feeling so much distress because her beloved sons, the demigods, were wandering like homeless beggars seeking refuge. Yes? Just like this hurricane struck New Orleans and hundreds and thousands of people are homeless. They had to leave their city, they had to leave their furniture, their occupation, everything. And they're just wandering around trying to find some shelter, some place to stay. Well, the demigods were in a situation like that. They had to flee from their palaces, their heavenly abodes, and they had to hide. Like fugitives hiding and running from the demons. Oh, how much Aditi's heart was pained to see this. So with the instructions of her husband, Kashyapa Muni, she performed the Payavrata, a particular form of devotional service to worship the Lord. And then the Lord appeared to her. And the Lord said, I already know what you want, and it will be done. You don't have to ask, I already know. I will take birth as your son because there's no one like me that can do this work. So yes, the Lord knows our hearts. And he's reciprocating according to our desires. Therefore, great devotees, they ask the Supreme Personality of Godhead only for those things that the Lord is pleased with. We don't have to ask for material things because he knows our material problems and he knows our material needs and he'll do whatever's best for us. We're simply praying for pure devotional service. Na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajakati shakamaye mama janamani janamanishwari bhavatad bhaktirohaiti kitvai. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us this is how we should pray to Krishna. I do not want wealth. I do not want the pleasures of the opposite sex. I do not want to be known as a great poet or scholar. I do not want fame and prestige. I do not even want liberation from suffering. I only want your causeless devotional service, birth after birth after birth. If we have this prayer, Krishna will give us according to what's best. He may give us wealth. He may give us fame and prestige. He may give us scholarship. He may give us all of these things. Or he may take it all away. Yasya hamanagrin nami harishyeta dhanam shanai. The Lord told Yudhisthira Maharaj, when I give my mercy to my devotee, I give him or her whatever she may want. But when I show great compassion, I will take everything away so that that devotee has no one else and nothing else to turn to except me. This is the condition of Lord Brahma. Such a powerful living being, just trying to do his service. But the creation, due to an improper, due to a passionate mentality, in the form, during his service to the Lord, due to a passionate mentality, he created these demons that were coming to devour him, to abuse him. He could only turn to Krishna. There's nowhere else, nothing else. So this is a prayer of a devotee. Krishna will give us what he thinks we need materially. But our aspiration should be for unconditional loving service. You can fool the world, but you can never fool Krishna. Krishna does not tolerate hypocrisy or duplicity in a devotee. In fact, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he taught with great emphasis that the first principle that is essential to be accepted by a devotee is simplicity. Simplicity means no duplicity, no hypocrisy. Simple, honest dealings with others, and simple, honest dealings with the Lord within our own heart. That is first principle. The whole purpose of Krishna consciousness is samsiddhira haritoshanam, to please Krishna. That's all. To please Krishna. And what pleases Krishna? The attitude, the mentality of our consciousness. Simplicity. Humility. Honesty. Genuine dedication. These are foundational qualities that are necessary to give Krishna pleasure in whatever we may do. So when Lord Brahma approached the Supreme Lord, please save me. These men are hungry, are so sexually hungry that they want to violate me. So the Lord, who knows the mind of Brahma and the mind of every living being, told Brahma he must give up his body. And cast off this impure body of yours. Srila Prabhupada in this purport quotes from Sridhar Swami, explaining that several times in the process of creation, Lord Brahma has to cast off his body. This doesn't mean he committed suicide. This doesn't mean he gave up his external physical body. He gave up that particular type of mentality that created those demons. Because Prabhupada explains herein that there is a gross body and we also have subtle body. The mind, intelligence, and false ego are subtle material bodies. And he had to cast off this state of consciousness, this mentality. And Srila Prabhupada explains so nicely here, when we have sinful thoughts, those sinful thoughts will impel us to engage in sinful actions. And those sinful actions will create karmic reactions that will come back like enemies. to cause great harm and pain to us, and even possibly destroy our spiritual lives. So what to do? We must cast off this sinful mentality. And how do we do that in this age of Kali? Krishna has appeared within the divine name. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, when we take shelter of the holy name, it cleans the mirror of the heart. But we must guard against 10 offenses. Otherwise, our chanting the names is somewhat similar to the elephant bathing and then coming out again. It's a very long process of cleansing unless we guard against 10 offenses. Not to blaspheme devotees. Not to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting, and so forth. If we follow these regulative principles, in other words, we give up our sinful mentality, we take shelter of Krishna to purify us of the sinful body of the mind. And then we find refuge, we find real shelter. Srila Prabhupada also explains in this purport how, according to our consciousness, desires are born. According to our desires, we are impelled to speak and act, and then we create practically our own karmic offspring, which is going to come back upon us. In one sense, our karma is like our children. We have produced a particular offspring. If we have good desires and we act in good ways, then our karma is good and helps us in so many material ways. If our desires are sinful, it impels us to sinful acts. And then, like offspring, bad children come to haunt us. Sometimes to terrorize us and make us suffer. Vikarma, karma, and akarma. But if our consciousness is for the pleasure of Krishna, in the service of Krishna, then there's no karma. Then those some ragadvesha vimuktaishtu vishayanandriyaischaran atma vishayavadhe atma prasadamanigaschati. If our actions are in devotional service, then they attract the mercy of the Lord. And the mercy of the Lord delivers us from all attractions and aversions within this world. How wonderful. But the same principle is extended to understand producing children in the household ashram. According to our particular state of consciousness at the time of conception, a particular type of living being will take shelter within the semen of the man and then enter into the womb of the mother. So Prabhupada is recommending the Garbhadan Samskara. Now, according to the Karma Kanda, there are many rituals to be performed in the Garbhadan Samskara. Srila Prabhupada always went right to the essence of things. Srila Prabhupada understood in the age of Kali, sometimes people become so much absorbed in the ritual that they forget the purpose and meaning behind it. And sometimes in the age of Kali, it's just very, very difficult and impractical for many people to go through all the rituals.
Harinam, 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 eva kevalam, kalona, steva, nasteva, nasteva, gatiram, yata.
Great sacrifices are not practical in the age of Kali. But the essence of everything is to remember Krishna. The essence of meditation, the essence of deity worship, the essence of yajna is all to remember Krishna, to fix our mind on Krishna in a proper service attitude. But in Kali Yuga, the essence to remember Krishna is so simple. Just chant his holy names. In the age of Kali, Krishna appears within his name. It's the great benediction for this age of Kali. So in the same way, Prabhupada going right to the essence, the greatest garbhadan samskara is to fix your consciousness on Krishna by chanting the holy names. Therefore, he recommended to his grihastha disciples, chant at least 50 rounds. Yes, Yaduvar Prabhu? I only know theoretically. Yaduvar Prabhu has produced wonderful, wonderful Krishna conscious children, so he knows the science under Prabhupada's direction. But yes, to fix our mind on Krishna, if we're Krishna conscious, if we're absorbed in Krishna at the time of the act of conception, it will attract Krishna's mercy. It will attract a special soul to come. So in every sense, Krishna consciousness is about purifying our consciousness, casting off our sinful mentality, casting off our egoistic mentality, casting off the mentality of lust, envy, anger, greed, pride, and illusion, somehow or other. In order to do that, association is so important, because we are what we associate with. If we associate with people in the modes of passion and ignorance, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what is a Vaishnav? A Vaishnav is one who does not associate with people, intimately associate with people, who are too much attached to sense gratification. Association of devotees is the greatest gift of the Lord, because in proper association of devotees, we create an environment that cleanses our consciousness and protects our real ideals. Why is association of devotees most valuable of all benedictions? Because in that association, it is natural that we hear the glories of the Lord. We chant the names and glories of the Lord. We cast off our lower nature, and we realize the mercy of the Lord. Thank you very much. Would you like to speak something, Maharaji, please? Is there any comments or questions? Yaduvar Prabhu, would you like to speak something? Rasaraj Prabhu. Is there any questions? Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.